It's me, Jocelyn, from BB&J Podcast. If you don't already know the intro, well, neither do I, so it's okay. It's a long whatever. Anyways, please enjoy this episode. It is sponsored by Anchor. Thank you guys so much.
I have been sick recently, so I may be coughing a lot.
Oh yeah, we're virtual, so it might be a little like messy.
Yeah. Phone in or anything right now because my phone's charging. Somehow it went down 2% when I was trying to plug it in. Okay, so here's the warnings for today's episode. We did have to start this over because we are the best.
Yeah, you give the warnings. I'll be right back. I gotta pour some water out of this tin.
Oh my god. Okay. So today's warnings for our episode. Obviously murder. That's pretty much every episode though. Cannibalism, and also a very, very, very brief.
I'm back.
Yeah.
I feel like I left, like, you know, when you, like, I don't know, neither of us have kids, but, like, you know, when you, like, you have, like, a, neither of us have step-parents either. Anyways, you know when, like, you leave your kid with your their step-parent? I felt like that just happened when I left. I don't know why.
Okay.
I don't have a kid. I'm not married. I'm also not divorced.
Not yet.
I'm single, I don't have kids, but that's what I felt like I just did.
Okay, so, I gave my warning, so let's introduce our murderer for today's episode. Would you like to introduce it?
He was Richard Ramirez's friend, but I don't remember anything else, so.
I cannot pronounce his name correctly. I think the last name's right, but anyway. His name is Nico Klo.
Klo?
Something like that.
That's, I don't know, you glitched. I heard Nico Klo, but I don't know if that's what you said.
No, that is what I said. That's what everyone else says, so I'm gonna say it's right.
Okay. Yeah.
Other name is the Vampire of Paris.
Cute. I'm kidding.
So I'm actually gonna be reading off an article today. It's called, it's on Murderpedia. If you wanna see it, just type out his name, and it's...
No, I'll just link it. I'll link it in the, bio. Not the bio. What's it called? The description.
Yeah.
Or so, the credits, maybe?
Of Jake Weber on YouTube, and he actually met this guy, and that's what this case is.
Jake Weber's still alive. Uh-huh. We'll be fine. I said Jake Weber's still alive, so we should be fine.
So, Nico is actually...
Well, I think Jake Weber's still alive.
Seems like now. I mean, he's...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's out of prison now. He has a girlfriend. They drink each other's blood sometimes, but we don't talk about that.
That's... We don't talk about rooms.
He actually has a huge collection of murderabilia. And one of those items being, from Richard Ramirez, it is his black square court trial stuff. He was actually friends with Richard Ramirez. They would share letters from prison, I believe.
Were they in the same prison?
No.
Oh.
This guy's from Paris. But...
Oh, so that's what probably why he's out of prison, because, like, you know, Paris probably, I don't know, does Paris have different laws?
So, Richard Ramirez's wife was actually the one that gave Nico the black tie, which I kind of thought was cool.
Oh.
But, and, which you know all didn't, about. We covered
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Not a nice guy.
No, not really. Not necessarily.
Pretty crappy, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So I gained my warnings.
Let's not talk bad about Nico's friend, though.
Yeah. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about the drinking. We don't talk.
You know, but Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox do it.
Oh my god, did you hear about the ring thing? He has, like, the thorns in it, so she can't take it off.
Yeah. Well, she can take it off, but it'll hurt.
Well, yeah. He said, like, if she's able to go through all the pants, that means she don't love me anymore or something.
Yeah. Well, if you're, like, in a movie, she's an actress. I don't know.
Anyway, let's get started. So, I'm not going to go word for word on this article, but I'm going to go pretty much off of it. Because I didn't actually do research this time. Well, I did, but yeah. Let's get started. So, Mika confessed to one murder.
Cute. No. Oh, my God. Why did I say that?
He claimed to be a practicing Satanist. No wonder he was friends with Richard.
Yeah.
We all know his obsession with
Satan. Richard Ramirez listened to devil worshipping, or I don't know, something like AC/DC.
Death metal music stuff, as he would say it. I think it's so funny that he considered AC/DC Highway to Hell to be like, you know, I don't know. I thought that was the funniest thing ever. We're not talking about Richard, though. We're talking about Nico.
Yeah.
Okay, so a search of his apartment turned up unidentified, skeletal remains, blood bag stolen from the hospital's blood bank, funeral jars, human ashes, and hundreds of hardcore S&M videotapes.
That'll okay. There. Somebody's got a little something there.
Something there?
Why you need those?
Okay, so, where was I? Oh, yeah. So, described by court psychiatrists as being a nearly psychotic sadist.
Oh. That's Nico, always great to be described as. Nico, that doesn't make me scared at all.
Nico shocked the investigators when he described how he enjoyed eating strips of mussels from the court.
Ew.
That like would be at St. Joseph Hospital Mortuary, which I'm pretty sure. I'll get to it later. It gets into it more, but okay.
Ew. Sorry. Continue.
He also described how he enjoyed going through the cemeteries, digging up fresh and drinking human blood mixed with human ashes and protein powder.
I guess he's getting the blood from the morgue, but is he just eating skin off the dead corpses? Because I'm pretty sure they're just filled with chemicals.
He's eating strips of muscles.
Wow, I guess there's muscle. Yeah, okay.
Interesting. So
he's not killing people for it.
Well, we'll get to that later.
Well, he didn't kill any... You understand.
We'll get to that later. I mean, he's described her so, due to the lack of evidence connecting him to the other crimes, Nico is only charged with one count of premeditated murder and 6 counts of grave robberies.
Okay, that's fair.
During his trial, psychiatrists confirmed that he couldn't be held entirely responsible for his crimes.
What?
In 1997, he was found guilty of murder and sentenced to 12 years of prison.
Okay, alright.
22 now. He was eligible for parole in late 2000. It's 2022 now. He's out of prison.
He's been out for a while. You know, I hope he's turned his life around. I hope he's not still eating bodies.
And it's actually really cool. He turned his dark fascinations, so to say, into he does artwork now and sells it.
That's
so. I mean, actually, in a way, I think it's kind
of. Wait, what do you mean he does artwork like of like dead people?
Well, he has a website. It's actually Serial Pleasures. If you want to go check it out, I looked at it. I just don't have money. he's painted. I mean, he has like T-shirts. He's painted things. He's a lot of cool. He even is the author of the Cannibal Cookbook, I believe.
Oh my god. So he's eaten enough humans to, like, know how to cook them. Alright. Terry, that's the only thing I can think of.
I don't know.
Like, you could have, like, maybe silent. Maybe. Yeah, it would be a silent H.
Anyway.
Terry Bissener.
That's close enough.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. we'll go with that. Anyway, this guy was 34. His October 4th killing was a string of homosexual murders.
That's a little too close to my birthday.
Yeah, it is. Anyway. Let's see. One of the investigators believed that a single killer was responsible and was eager to get Nico back to headquarters for questioning. Actually, a direct quote from Nico. Following my arrest, I was taken back to the, I can't pronounce it, so it's a crime police place stuff, you know, for questioning. Unknown to him, crime scene investigators were already in the process of searching his apartment. Inside, they found a 22 caliber handgun under his bed, which they immediately sent off for, like, tests and stuff. While they were probably not surprised to have found the pistol, they were almost certainly not prepared for the grisly scene that welcomed them.
Wow, this just sounds...
This is actually, like I said, a direct quote from him, but I am kind of changing it some to make it easier. Okay. Because clearly I have issues. Throughout his apartment, they found bone fragments.
Ew.
Human teeth were scattered about, like,
loose. Nasty. That's cute. That's not cute. I should stop saying that's cute. It's because
vertebrae and leg bones hung from the ceiling.
Like, oh my god. I'm really hoping he got these from grave digging. Like, really hoping.
Video cassettes, mostly slasher and hardcore S&M flicks, filled the show. One can only imagine what went through the minds of the investigators as they looked around the living area.
I would be like, I'm getting the god freaking chicken out of here. Sorry, I'm trying not to cuss. I try to keep it family friendly because it's not family friendly.
We are family friendly. I lost my place, dang it. Across the room sat a TV set with jars of human ashes resting on top of it.
Ooh, that sounds like... Never mind.
Investigators also discovered several stolen blood bags inside of his refrigerator.
That sounds suspicious.
So gross. Okay.
Okay. So he drank it, right? How do you know they didn't have some type of, like, diseases? Like,
saw some vampires drink blood. That's about it.
Well, doesn't he? Okay.
Oh, maybe he did need blood.
All right.
Sorry, okay. I forgot what you said. But yeah, he was using it for a medical purpose. I think he was just drinking it.
Yeah, I would assume he was just drinking it, but I don't know.
It did not take long for the test on the gun, results to come back. And when confronted with the evidence that the tests were positive, Nico confessed to that one dude's murder.
Okay.
Nico claimed that while investigators were happy to have solved a brutal crime, they were also understandably concerned with all the human bones scattered throughout his apartment.
Well, no, duh! I
pushed out his refrigerator.
I feel like you just walked into a damn crime scene.
God, what the hell happened here?
Yeah, it's like, okay. Bye.
This is also another direct quote from Nico, but once again, I'm kind of changing the wording. With a little hesitation on his part, he informed them that he had been robbing the graves of several graveyards and mutilating the mummified remains.
That's illegal, but whatever.
When asked the reason why he was throwing stolen blood bags inside his refrigerator, he simply answered that he drank the blood on a regular basis.
Ew.
working.
Okay, but like if you like drink blood or like have a craving for blood, doesn't that mean you have like an iron deficiency?
I don't know.
Because like there's iron in blood and like you crave the iron in the anyways, I'm gonna stop.
Working as a mortuary assistant for 10 months, he had been using his position to fulfill a lifelong fantasy revolving around cannibalism.
Oh.
Ew! Sorry, I just read ahead that got gross. When left to stitch the bodies after the autopsies, he would cut strips of meat from the ribs and eat them.
Ew, sorry if y'all can hear my cat.
On some occasions, he would bring pieces of flesh back to his place where he would cook and eat those pieces as well.
What, did he, like, did he make, like, a skin fillet? Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I don't know if I read it in this article or if it was on Jake Weber's interaction with him, but he actually said that he preferred eating the meat raw.
Eat the what?
He actually preferred eating the meat raw. I don't know if that was actually...
That's nasty. That's worse than eating human.
Anyway.
Eating raw human.
Obviously.
But you do you. Just don't kill people.
Obviously, after the investigators heard his confessions, their questions were like, why? Why did you kill people? Why did you eat flesh and drink blood? Why did you dig up corpses?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everyone has those kind of questions.
I would be like, look, we already know that you're, like, you know, guilty of this, but why did you, like, what
why?
Possessed why? You to do this?
Let's see. So, this is actually more of his backstory now. We're getting to it.
Okay.
So, Mika was born on March 22nd, 1972.
Nice. I feel like I know someone who was born on March. In March. Okay. Alright, continue.
I cannot pronounce where he's from, so we're just not going to talk about it. If you really want to know, read the article yourself. His father was a French citizen who worked in a bank and was often sent with his family to foreign countries for long periods of time. While Mika was too young to remember his early life, where he's from, he does recall the family moving to London around the age of 5, and then off to the southernmost part of Paris, where he was 7, where they remained until he was 12.
Nice. He's... Okay.
Once again, another direct quote from him. His childhood was basically normal, except that he was very withdrawn and only had a few friends.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Apparently he needed more friends because he began eating people.
Yeah.
He was a lonely child, lacking brothers and sisters to play with. So he spent most of his time alone in his room. This actually is kind of sad.
Yeah, I'm getting a little depressed here. Sorry, I'm baby talking because my cat's... Ow! Is a devil.
Okay, so...
Rude.
Very kind to him and gave him everything he needed. He never really felt a strong bond between them. He said they never hugged or kissed him. They just let him be on his own most of the time.
Oh,
I know, that is really sad.
That's sad.
He grew emotionally cold.
Well, yeah.
Had difficulty feeling empathy for other people. Just indifferent most of the time. I know people like that. Not gonna name anyone. We're not getting into that today. Yeah, it's actually really sad.
Yeah.
This is actually about the time he began to develop the fascination for death and stuff like that.
I never thought I'd want to give a serial killer a hug, but I kind of want to give him a hug.
Well, he's in Paris if you want to meet him.
Yeah, but I don't like Paris.
I want to go so bad.
Like, that's not where I'd want to go. I feel like it would just be, like, you would think it's so, so cool. You get, like, so excited, and then it would be so under, like,
my mom,
what you expected.
Person before, and he said it wasn't all that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I was watching one of the Jake Weber videos where they first met Nico, and the graveyards there are actually so gorgeous.
Yeah, well, it's like Paris is a pretty place, but it's like so over. Whatever, it's like over.
Okay, so he would spend hours reading books on vampires and werewolves, which I mean, I feel like a lot of people do that, but you know, he's taking it to a lot of level.
I most definitely don't.
I mean, I've read books on vampires because I mean, I've read.
I mean, like I've watched the Twilight like series, but I mean, I didn't read it because.
Are you team Edward or team Jacob?
We had this argument last time. I'm not having it again.
I still can't believe you're Edward, man. What? Sorry.
Yeah, and I can't believe you're Jacob. He looks like a... I'm not even going to go there.
Jacob's hot. Okay, so...
I think she's confused. Anyways, continue.
A photo of the statue of some... I can't say it. Some demon thing. Especially fascinated him. He found it in a book his parents had bought in England. For him, it symbolized something extremely ancient and powerful, something that he respected. A few years later, he saw the same statue used in the movie Exorcist.
Oh.
And that's when his interest in all that kind of stuff grew stronger.
Okay.
So, when Nico was 10, his grandfather died.
Aww.
The two had been arguing at the time, and Nico always felt that his family blamed him for the death.
What?
I know. This dude's childhood sucks.
Did you ever realize that cat food is shaped like their...
No, I didn't.
Sorry. Alright. Okay.
This was a very crucial moment in his life. One that he claims made him become literally obsessed with physical death. From then on, he
said,
fascinated with just a bunch of stuff death related. There's a long list, so we're not getting into it.
All right.
12, Nico and his parents moved to a place that I can't freaking pronounce, where they remained for 4 years. While the setting may have changed, Nika's obsessions remained the same. None of his fellow classmates shared his interests, understandably.
Yeah.
He was once again without friends.
Aww.
His feelings of loneliness became more intense, and he began to feel an utter hatred for everyone around him. Yeah, dude. He really needed friends. He started eating people.
Yeah.
Maybe he wouldn't have eaten people if he had friends.
I don't know.
So maybe it's a good thing. And regardless, it is pretty sad. So this is all a quote from him, but a lot of these are direct quotes from him, but like I said, I'm just changing the wording. When he was 16, they moved back to Paris, where he lived alone with his father. As far back as he can remember, he had been obsessed with graveyards. Which, I mean, graveyards terrify me. Me and my mom and my brother actually once got lost in a graveyard on Halloween night.
What?
Yeah, I was
terrified. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know how you did that.
He knew every single cemetery in Paris, like the back of, like, you know, like that cemetery, with the back of your hand.
Yeah.
That's one of the stupidest saying ever. I mean, I don't know what the back of my hand even looks like.
So, I do.
Well, I mean, I don't study it. Between 1990 and 1993, he spent the majority of his free time in graveyards.
Ew.
Let's see. He would study plants and flowers.
Okay.
No, he wouldn't. That's not what it says. As someone would study plants and flowers, he would examine rusty rocks and evaluate the weight of
them. That's more like it. Okay.
I was like, yeah, he would examine that. That makes much more sense. His favorite things were mausoleums. How do you say it? Oh my god. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Good enough. Okay. Sorry, I'm having issues. The most impressive ones, he has I'm not even read that sentence. Too much effort. We don't need it. He would peek through the windows to see the inside. Some were decorated with furniture, paintings, or statues. It was not long before he began working on a plan to get a much closer view.
Oh, I feel like... okay.
Silly, Nico crafted his own lock-picking tools, his favorite being an L-shaped key, which he also explained in the Jake Webber series. If a lock on one of the mausoleums was too rusty to pick, he would use a crowbar or enter through a window. Once inside, he said he felt like an emperor reigning in hell.
Okay.
A little dark.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oftentimes, he said he would enter during the day, only to resurface at night when the gates were closed and he could continue his activities without fear of being discovered.
Oh, geez. All right.
If you don't want to be caught, why'd you go during the day?
Yeah. If you don't want to be near bodies, me, because I'd rather not be near a dead body, why would... why? Why?
Oh, dear God. I'm a little scared. I don't know when it is. Oh, my God. One of the most grossest parts is coming up. Okay. So, apparently... when he actually described this in the videos I watched, he would originally just start out by skipping school and going
with
books and stuff in there, but it got a lot darker. Wait, quick. So, over time, simply lurking in graveyards and breaking into mausoleums was not enough. So, let's see. Where was I? So, it was clear that he had set up an entire...
He'd go to morgues, didn't he?
What?
Did he go to morgues?
He worked in a morgue at one point.
Oh.
That's
oh. Okay.
So, should I read it from his perspective? Because this is a direct quote.
Yeah.
So, I woke up one day feeling the sinister urge to dig up a corpse and mutilate it.
Ew!
I gathered a small crowbar and a pair of pliers, a screwdriver, which comes into play later, and a pair of surgical gloves and a backpack.
Oh my god, no.
It's been murdered. It's okay, it's already a dead person, it's fine.
Wait, how did he...
Subway.
I don't wanna know.
What's part of the story?
No, I was saying how did he use a knife and I don't wanna know.
Oh, no, a screwdriver. I don't even think he took a knife.
He used a... Ew!
Nearly noon, and the gates of the cemetery were wide open, but nobody was inside. The undertakers were...
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait, before I continue, he told a really funny story, actually. No, I'm not going to get into it. We'll get into it later. Let's just...
Okay.
I don't even know how to pronounce this. So, it's a small graveyard with plenty of huge mausoleums, which were built during the 19th century.
Yeah.
It is right between two large avenues, so it is impossible to climb inside at night. But anyway, nobody could ever imagine that there was someone robbing graves at noon.
Yeah.
Back to his direct quote. I had this special grave in mind. It was a small mausoleum, the burial site of a family of Russian immigrants I had already pried open the iron door a few days before, and I had closed it afterwards, so it would seem that nobody had ever touched it. All I had to do was kick it open. At this point, my mind was in total chaos. I had flashes of death in my head. I took a deep breath, and I climbed down the steps leading to the crypt.
Ew.
It's gonna get real, really dark here, okay? Also, quick question, is my audio still okay?
Yeah, is mine.
So back to the death. It was a rather small one, with damp walls buried deep inside the cemetery ground. There was no other source of light, other than, like, the candles he had brought. To begin, for more than an hour, I removed one of the heavy coffins from its stone casing. It was especially hard not to let the coffin fall all of a sudden to the ground, but somehow I managed to slowly lay it down, without making too much noise. However, one edge of the
coffin... How is he that strong?
I don't know. However, right. He's like 16-ish. maybe a little older, I don't know. However, one edge of the coffin scratched my lower leg when it touched the ground, but that didn't stop me at all. I examined the casket for a while. It was solid oak.
Oh, that's why I didn't need a knife. Sorry. It just clicked in my head.
Like, brand new. So I expected to find a recently deceased corpse. First, I unscrewed the coffin, which took me less than 10 minutes. Then I pried it open with a crowbar. Once opened, A horrible stench came out of the box. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
It smelled like a product used on corpses in order to delay the process of decay. That's a direct quote. Then I saw the body inside. It was a half-rotten old woman.
Oh my.
Covered with brown stains.
Her no.
face was smeared with oil, but it was simply the death fluids oozing from her skin.
Ew.
I nearly fainted. I tried to lift one side of the sheets, but it was glued to her side skin.
Ew.
The teeth were protruding from the mouth, but her eyes were gone. I stared into the empty eye sockets, and all of a sudden, something broke in my mind. I felt like I was falling. This is where it gets worse.
No.
Are you just ready? Are you ready?
No.
That's when I picked up a screwdriver. The corpse inside the coffin started to move slightly, like if it had happened next. So I began to stab the belly, the rib area, and the shoulders.
Ew. I stabbed it
50 times. I really can't remember. All I can remember is that when I woke up, my forearms were covered with corpse slime.
Ew!
Isn't that so disgusting? That was the direct quote from him. So, I mean, it was pretty graphic.
Ew!
After highlighting his first grave, Nico said that he spent much of his free time searching the cemetery for new graves to, you know, mess with. This is a pattern, he said, would continue up until the time of his arrest. So, quite disgusting.
Nasty. Bow!
You good?
Yeah, I'm fine. Oh, I need a few minutes, but it's fine.
Someone's at my door.
Is this almost over? Because I'm, like, about to throw up.
You're about to what?
Like, throw up. How much longer is this thing?
It's a while longer. It'll be okay. It's not as disgusting. That was the grossest part. Okay, don't worry.
Okay.
So, at 20, Nico joined the military, where he was trained as a gunsmith, cleaning and repaired weapons. But he soon found his lifestyle boring. His only satisfaction came from Fantasia murder. After serving just a year, Nico moved on and said that he began to consider a career as a mortician. This is a direct quote from him. In 1993, the one and only local school for embalming declined my application, so I began working as a St. Vincent a hospital in Paris. Hospital.
Okay.
This was the only way I could really do what I wanted for a living, and I also found out that it was the best way to be in contact with corpses. I was given the job of a morgue attendant, and my first contact with the corpse was when I assisted the autopsy of a 10-year-old girl. The other attendant showed me how to stitch up her belly, and that was the first time I ever got to touch a fresh corpse.
Ew.
In her organs were... I do not remember reading that part.
Nasty.
Someone's texting me. I'm gonna ignore them. Nick did not stay at the hospital for long. In December of 2003, he took a position as a morgue attendant and a stretcher bearer at St. Joseph Hospital, which is also in Paris. His duties involved helping with autopsies, cleaning up the morgue slabs, and preparing the bodies for wakes. A small chapel was located up the stairs where the relatives could later view the bodies of their loved ones. You doing good over there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're getting closer to the end. Don't worry. So this is a direct quote from him again. So most of the autopsies were done by us, the morgue attendants. We would do the Y-shaped incisions, cut the ribs at the joints, and open the skull with an electric saw. The pathologist, is that how you say it?
Yeah, pathologist.
Yeah, only dissected the organs, put them in a box. I would be left alone with the bodies after the autopsy to do the stitches, which were my specialty. This is when I began eating strips of mussels from the...
Ew!
I always
check. You said it wasn't nasty.
He always checked the medical files first. It's okay. Just kidding, that doesn't make it any better.
No.
I was here once, who told me that meat is better 3 or 4 days after death.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my ill god.
Opportunity to do it on a regular basis. Sometimes I brought select meats home with me to be cooked. My preference it tasted like tartar steak. The big muscles of the thighs and back were good, but there was
ew. Oh my god, I'm done. I'm done. I am done.
People often ask me what went through my mind the first time he began eating people. Well, to be honest, this is what he said. Wow, now I'm a cannibal. Cool.
Nasty.
Okay. Nico's other job at the St. Joseph Hospital involved working in the digestive surgery unit. One of his duties involved delivering the blood bags from the hospital's blood bank to the surgery room. He claimed that it did not take long from the notice that it was not unusual for bags to be left over, and eventually he devised a scheme in which he would rip the sticker off of the unused bag, making it appear that to have been opened, then hide it in his locker. At the end of his shift, he would transfer the bag to his backpack and take it home, and began cooling it in his fridge. Once the desired temperature was reached, he would mix the blood with powdered proteins or human ashes, and then drink
nasty!
It. Yeah. So, let's see. Is this where he began? Oh, this is where he began murdering. So, on the morning of October 4th, 1994, Nico said that he decided it was time to turn another one of his fantasies into reality. You know, a murder run. He'd been waiting for just the right time. He was finally ready to cross the line, you know, into murder. Are you ready?
Yeah. It's
not nearly as graphic as the other incidents, don't worry. I don't even think he ate this guy. So, Nika spent his morning searching for a victim. Any victim. Nothing mattered. Not age, not race, not sex. Nothing. Who's looking for death? Nothing more, nothing less. By the early afternoon, Nika decided to try his luck. I might not pronounce it. It describes it as an early version of the internet. And soon began chatting with that guy that I still can't pronounce. That guy that I
can't, yeah.
Yeah, the guy he killed. They were talking about some, you know, not so appropriate things. After a while, the two decided to get together, and the man gave Nika the address to his home. Little did the guy know, though, he was not meeting up for, a quote-unquote good time at all.
Well, not for him.
I mean, you know, that's what he thought, but, you know, he was going to die. Let's see. Sorry, I'm trying to find where a good place to start is here. I'll give you some time to let all process, you know?
Yeah.
He found out that it wasn't, the thing he used to meet the guy, it was an easy way for him to kill them without any witnesses, plus, it was easier for them to remain anonymous, since there was no possibility of tracing back the deception on the site they used. So this is a direct quote from him. So I agreed on meeting him, I can't say his name, around noon. With me, I carried a single shot. 22 caliber handgun, which I hid under my jacket, when I arrived at his place, a one-room apartment under the roof of an old building. I knocked on the door and gave him the fake first name that I had given him on the site they used. He opened the door. I stepped inside, quickly turned around while he was closing the door and pulled out the key.
Oh my god.
Jackson, leave me alone. I'm busy. I don't know what he just said. What? Oh, Carson's injured. Are you okay?
Here, we can stop and finish later.
No, I'm good. Plus, we only have, like, we can only film for, like, 20 more minutes, so I gotta hurry.
Yeah.
I looked at his face just as he turned his head towards me and saw the gun pointed at his eye. After a few awkward moments passed, I pulled the trigger. He instantly fell face down without a word. It was really eerie. It all happened, like, in slow motion. Then I watched him bleed on the carpet. Soon I decided to see what the apartment looks like, was like, and wandered around a bit. I just think that's funny for no reason. You know.
I think that's a little creepy, but okay.
When I returned to where he was lying, I observed that he was still moving and making horrible breathing noises on the floor, like if he was breathing through a straw. I reloaded the gun and shot again, this time striking him in the back of the head. I reloaded and fired a few more times, but he was still alive and making noise.
What?
Eyes that he was still holding on. I expected the first shot to kill him. Like, this dude doesn't die. Okay, this is just weird. Okay, after a few minutes, I went to the kitchen and found some cookies to eat, and then sat in the room and watched him as I ate.
Ew.
When I finished, I decided to get out of there quickly, so I shot him one last time in the back. I also lifted a huge plant container and smashed it on his head, crushing it some. I then wiped down my fingerprints, picked up his checkbook, a credit card, and a wallet with ID papers, his driver's license, an alarm clock, and an answering machine, and finally left the scene. You know, why not rob them if you're gonna kill them?
Yeah, why not get caught?
I mean, why not? The guy's body remained on the floor of his apartment for 3 days until his parents, distraught at not being able to get in touch with him, went to his apartment and discovered the disgusting scene.
Mm.
Reports on the life of that dude are rather sketchy. Nika claims that, I don't know where I was. That doesn't matter. I'm just trying to find where I was. Sorry, I keep getting lost. According to the guy's autopsy report, the first bullet had entered the eyeball and stopped just short of the brain. The following rounds crushed against the skull, except one, which slightly penetrated the brain. The final shot entered through his back and pierced his heart, causing almost immediate death. Only two questions remain. Who and why? Those are some good questions. Nika might have gotten away with it. He might have gotten away with it if he had not made a very, very crucial mistake. In mid-October, Nika attempted to forge one of his bank checks to buy a VCR. When asked for identification, Nika presented a shop clerk with the guy's driver's license, which he had own picture, but the scam was quickly noticed when the clerk compared the signatures. Nika took off before the police arrived, which began the search. This is a direct quote. On November 15th, 1994, I was arrested in front of the place I can't pronounce. Following an altercation with a woman, the police had recognized me from the photograph on the forged driver's license, and while under custody, I confessed to the murder when I was shown the, had been robbing graves of several graveyards, stealing the bones, and mutilating the mummified remains. When asked the reason why I was storing stolen blood bags inside my refrigerator, I simply answered that I drank on a regular basis. I also confessed to being on a very specific diet and wanted to describe my mortuary job and the cannibalism. There's a lot of other stuff. Nico's trial began on May 9th, 1997. The 9-member jury had already been chosen. He was just after delivering. They deliberated for 3 hours. He was found guilty of premeditated murder, armed robbery, a whole bunch of other stuff. He was then sentenced to 12 years in prison. in prison, like I said, he would talk to a lot of serial killers. He actually had notes from them. Here's a couple of things from him. Let's see, where's a good one? He disliked jerks. It was actually... Okay, so where is it? This is the most disturbing part of all of it for some reason to me. Question was asked if he had ever, you know, done some inappropriate things with a corpse. His answer was, yeah, so what?
It? What?
Did you talk to any of the corpses you dug up? I'm no psycho, was his answer.
Okay.
And yeah, that's pretty much all I have on Nico.
Well, thank you for listening, everybody, and goodbye.
Bye.
I'm gonna go sleep.
You die.